So the term aquifer can be kind of a loose term, and it depends entirely on what you're using that groundwater for. So if we were to dig down into the soil or the loose sand, whatever you're standing on, you would dig through a zone where the pores have airspace in them, maybe a little bit of water. The soil might feel a little damp. This is called your unsaturated zone. And eventually, if you dig deep enough, you'll hit a point where all those pore spaces are full of water. And this is called a saturated zone. And that surface between the unsaturated and the saturated zone is called the water table. Just a few more definitions to think about. The water table, kind of in a funny way, tends to mimic the surface above it, the land surface. So if you have hills and valleys, your water table will, for the most part, follow those hills and valleys. Where your water table intersects the surface in a valley, that's where you have a stream flowing. Or if it's in a closed basin, you'll have a lake. So we see that intersection of the groundwater and the surface water occurring where topography cuts down enough to reach the water table. And of course, our groundwater system is ever-changing. We have water that's leaving, called discharge. We have water that's coming back in, called recharge. And that recharge can occur as snowmelt, rainfall, people actually injecting water back into the groundwater system. Lots of different ways that you can put water in and you can take water out. Groundwater also flows. If we think about it mimicking topography, where we have a high point and a low point, groundwater will tend to flow from points of higher elevation to lower elevation. And deep, 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 deep down beneath the water table, groundwater will flow from areas where there's higher pressure on it to areas where there's lower pressure. So, if you're on the side of a hill coming down into a stream, for example, the groundwater underneath the hill has more material sitting on top of it. It has more pressure on it. The water that's intersected the land surface to create that stream, it has nothing but atmospheric pressure above it. So, groundwater underneath the hill is going to say, I don't like being under all this pressure. I'm going to head for the zone of no pressure. And so you can actually have groundwater effectively flow uphill. And it's just because of those pressure differences. Now, some other things that happen with groundwater. Of course, we remove it from below the Earth's surface by using wells. We pump that water out. If you pump the water out from the water table faster than the groundwater can flow into that area, this causes a cone around that well. It's called a cone of depression, where you've pulled the water table surface down towards the bottom of the well. Now, you might not think this is all that big of a deal, but let's say you have two communities next to one another, and one has a shallow well and one has a really deep well, and they're pulling out of the same aquifer. If the community with the deep well pumps so much that they create a really big cone of depression, they can pull the water table down enough that the community next to them with the shallow well will have a dry well, because they've pulled the water table down so far now that the shallow well doesn't even intersect the saturated zone. So, cones of depression can be a problem, but for example, when people are trying to deal with treating contaminants, sometimes you can use a cone of depression to your advantage to suck contaminated water into a certain place and keep it away from wells that you don't want it to go into. Now, very briefly, let's think about how groundwater can change our landscape. And for those of you who've ever been to Mammoth Caves or Carlsbad Caverns, you've seen this firsthand. So anywhere that you have rocks that can dissolve easily, like limestone or gypsum, when groundwater interacts with those rocks over long periods of time, it will actually start to dissolve them away. And over time, fissures and cracks become larger voids, become caves, become caverns. And so over time, with the right geology and groundwater hanging around long enough, you can create amazing cave and cavern systems in our subsurface. So, this has been a little different from all the other lectures that we've done, but streams and rivers and groundwater are all so critical to humans, to everything that we do, that it's important to keep them in the back of our mind and think about how these processes work.